Blog Talk Radio.
ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረው
All right, I think I finally got it figured out. Anyway, technology always kind of messes with you. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy. I go to my music friends by the name of Dougie Slap. And tonight's show is about love and light. It's about fear and darkness. It's about the death experience. It's about ascension. And we kind of decide which direction we want to go in. The actual show title is Love When Lived, Never Dies, Flight When Owned, Never Ceases to Exist. And the measure for whether we know that or not is whether or not the body dies or ascends. death and ascension only involves the body. The body either dies to its existence or descends to its realness, and there's no in-between. One of the interesting aspects of life, one of the interesting qualities of life, is we are the determiners of our experience pretty much across the board. Yes, there is karma that we have to deal with. Yes, there is our involvement with others. But for the most part, we have a tendency of simply creating and manifesting what we experience as who we are in all contexts and capacities. And the hope is that we come to a point in our life to where we enjoy who we are in the moment. And it can be anything. It can be happiness. It can be sadness. It can be hardship. It can be comfortability, and so on. Anything goes. That's one of the interesting facets or avenues of human existence, is the things that take place in our life according to who we are. In one sense, there's simply what we feel, sense, think, and envision. And that encompasses our entire experience from the time we're born till the time that our life transitions, either within the context of ascension or within the context of the death experience. One way of understanding the path or the process is birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, or oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. Oneness primarily is there's only the oneness of God. And we humans do a very curious thing. There are approximately 10,000 gods worshipped on this planet by the various religions that are in existence. And the realness of God is different than all of the gods that we worship, which is kind of oxymoronic and kind of ironic and actually kind of funny when you think about it. If God has a form, it is not God, as God is that precedes the universe. That's one thing we don't understand very well. The original state and condition of God that precedes the universe is all-encompassingness. This state inversely reversed into infinity. Within the composition or context of infinity, there is self-conscious awareness. That is how God and the universe know that they exist as something. And this is a very important point. One of the things that we all have the opportunity of doing is becoming God conscious. Another thing that we have the opportunity is becoming universally conscious aware. Another opportunity we have is the embodied spirituality of love and light within the context of the mind of God, within the context of the ensoulment of consciousness as a universal or infinite state. These make us human. When an individual is truly loving and enlightened, that state never ceases to exist. It does not die. It is impossible for something real and something true to cease to exist. This is something that we don't understand very well as human beings. So it makes it a daunting task when we look at what we're up against, because if we pay attention to science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, they convince us that we are anything but the human beingness of God and universe, divinity, deity, that which created us, that which brought us to life, and mom and dad, which gives us specifically issues that need to be resolved, act as catalyst only, and talents, which we have an opportunity to develop to share. That there is conscious awareness, and from the perspective of conscious awareness resolved issues and develops talents are the contribution that a person makes to others. Hopefully, without expectation or want for something to rest or gain. That is probably the big mistake or the common denominator for people on this planet. The assumption is that, oh, if I have this talent, if I have this ability, I'm supposed to become as wealthy and as famous as possible. Here's what I like about my show. This is something that I had an epiphany of today. In the raw material on page 87, it says, if you have helped one, you have helped the entire creation, count ye not the numbers. I'm fortunate that I have one person. She's listening to the show. Her name is Ant. She's been listening to the sound of my voice every day for a year and a half, which means that I do not need anyone else to communicate with on this planet. And I really like that. I don't have to have hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people, billions of people. One person is all I need, because in that one person, I am assisting the entire creation, and I count not the numbers. So I do not mind that there is only one or two or three or four people paying attention to my show on VTR. I actually kind of like that. So it makes it kind of interesting. And it means it lets me off the hook. It's not like lots of people have to pay attention to me. It's not like Joel Osteen that has an active audience every Sunday of about 5 million. Deepak Chopra has an audience of probably 10 to 20 million people and so on. I have an audience of right now two people, and that's great. It's perfect. That's perfect. I said, because the simple fact is this, the more comprehensive an individual is, the less likely people are going to listen to the sound of the voice. Because one is an enormous amount of information, and more often than not, people aren't taking into consideration what is inherent within the self as the nature of the self that potentiates from a context of matrix that potentiates into catalyst as experience that grows. And hopefully assist others in their life and times. I am often struck by the fact that almost everybody that has come to this planet has died the body rather than ascended the body. And part of the reason for that is that people don't know that the body can ascend. And it's the only aspect of the self that ascends. Now, what is ascension? It means to rise above the valley of the shadow of death. It means to take with the body. It means to integrate into the universe. We literally go from a planetary state of existence into an infinite or universal state of conscious awareness. In order for that to happen, an individual has to know the nature of the self according to the design. An individual has to live a life of contributing to others as path, as purpose. And in humanity's sense, in the big picture, there's collective ascension. The interesting thing about collective ascension is that it's not taught with science. It's not taught in a religion. There is not a religion on the planet that talks about collective ascension. It's not taught within the context of education. It's not taught within the context of business. It's not taught within the context of politics. It's not taught within the context of law. It's not taught in the context of medicine. If an individual wants to understand a collective ascension, there's only one body of knowledge that I've come across that talks about it, and that's the raw material. It was channeled by Carla Rupert. The questions were asked by Don Elkins, and Jim McCarty was the ground for the three. And when the three of them got together, they started channeling the raw material. It's my favorite body of knowledge in print, and I quote from it all the time. And to me, of all of the stuff that I have read, and I have read approximately 4,000 books over the years, it is the most useful of all the books that I have read. It's my number one body of knowledge. After that, probably A Course in Miracles. I read it from cover to cover three times because the first time I read it, I struggled with 70% of the information. And anytime I struggle with something, I work with it so that I don't struggle with it. The second time I read it, I struggled with 30% of the material. The third time I read it, I struggled with 10%. And the fourth time I read it, I didn't struggle with any of it. And now I can read it from cover to cover and say, yes, I understand this. Other bodies of knowledge that are useful is conversations with God is a useful body of knowledge. When we stop and think about who we are and the life that we're living, it's useful to understand that just as there is positive and negative energy that comes into existence humanly as an arbitrariness, which polarizes either in the negative as that which is a person that serves him or herself, or a person polarizes in the positive in which an individual is willing to contribute to the health and welfare of others without selfishness involved in the process. According to the raw material, negative service polarity is 95% self, 5% others. And you'll notice that the financial makeup of the planet is 5% own 95% of the wealth. in the service to other path, according to Ra, it's 51% others, 49% self. So it always is interesting when a person chooses to martyr themselves according to an ideology. Mother Teresa comes to mind as a martyr, self-denial. The Peace Pilgrim definitely was an individual that denied who she was for the sake of an ideal that from her perspective was unrealistic because it wasn't accomplished. That was the idea of walking until peace manifested on this planet. As long as people are divided within the context of their life because they don't know the nature of the self as God and universe, divinity, deity, that which created us, that which brought us to life, and mom and dad, then what happens is what we don't take into consideration creates that which is our downfall, so to speak, because we're not taking it into consideration. Part of what we are up against is the idea of past, presently, future bound. The past doesn't exist. There's only the now. I like a meditation that I do in which there's is nowness. I breathe in is nowness, and I exhale at oneness. Is nowness at one minute. Is nowness at one minute. And I do that for, oh, let's say 15 to 20 minutes. There are lots of things that a person can do to facilitate who they are. One is to meditate. One is to have ideas of truth. I have written and read books. My meditation centers on meditation, written and read books for material, and then vision boards. And vision boards are simply pictures of things that an individual can involve, own, participate with, and so on. My vision boards, I have pictures of nature, I have pictures of people, I have pictures of places, I have beach scenes and that kind of thing. I have six specific vision boards that are 20 inches by 30 inches, and I have a bunch of pictures on them. I also have laminates where I have lots of pictures in them as well, and it just gives me something to focus on. One of the things that's useful, and I recommend this to everyone, is that every 24 hours I put my hand in sea salt. I put my right hand in a bowl of sea salt, and I put my left hand in a bowl of sea salt. They're different bowls, one for each hand. And I simply ask for any and all negative energy absorbed and grounded in my body in the last 24 hours to dissipate, dissolve, ground in the salt. And I do that every day. What's interesting is I started that in 1984, and in 31 years or 32 years, I've been sick once in 32 years. I haven't missed a day sick since 1983. The last time I was actually sick where I missed work because I was sick was in 1980. And the last time I was actually sick was I came up to Mount Shasta and I was dressed in summer clothes because where I came from it was 90 degrees when I got up to Mount Shasta in March. There was 20 feet of snow at the Bunny Flat, and I was walking around in shorts and a Hawaii shirt, and it was colder than I was anticipating, and I got a cold that lasted 10 days, and I was really surprised because I never get sick. One of the things that's useful in the life that we're living, if we truly want to be loving, we have to understand the dynamic of fear, because fear is to the death experience what love is to ascension. If an individual is being, knowing, sharing, ascending, the will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, Yid, and universe, which are infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is, and are just like the sun, the earth, the moon, and the universe, as that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses, an individual will ascend the body. The flip side of that is if a person is not to the will of God, they are the unwillingness of God. If they are not to the love of life, they are the fear of life. If they are not the light of spirituality, they are the darkness of non or unspirituality. If an individual is not conscious, he or she is unconscious. According to Neil Donald Walsh, 98% of humanity is unconscious. The number that it was given to me is 99.98% of humanity is unconscious. The number that was given to me of the number of people that are harvestable within the context of the positive is 2 million people right now out of 7 plus billion. And that's how it is. That's always how it is. If we go back 25,000 years, according to the raw material, out of 392,000 human beings on the surface of this planet 25,000 years ago, only 150 were harvestable, and they chose to remain rather than ascend because their numbers were so small. The idea being that if we stay, there will be more people because what we humans don't understand within the context of collective ascension as opposed to individual ascension. Individual ascension, there is a specific mass and magnitude to love and light that ascends. In collective ascension, one is doubled by two, two is doubled by three, three is doubled by four, 1,000 is doubled by 1,001, 10,000 is doubled by 10,001, 1,000,000 is doubled by 1,000,001. The Ra is a collective of 6 million souls that ascended from Venus millions of years ago. This is according to the Ra material. Seth is a soul, is a collective that ascended as 1,012 souls. That every single human being is going to ascend, that there will be 7 billion people that ascend. However, the reality is more than likely less than 2 million people will be what starts the process. And the hope is that at least 5 million people ascend because the mass and magnitude of love and light is greater than what we observe as the sun. It's an interesting thing when you think about it. In conversations with God, there is the statement, nothing is inappropriate given one's model of the world. I put that in the context as nothing is appropriate given one's measure of the world. And however we hold our idea of self within the composition or constitution of who we are determines how we interact with the planet and others. The planet works in a very, very specific manner for it assists people in becoming consciously aware. One way that consciousness works, which is why vision boards are useful, is that what are the visuals that we observe that allow us to understand the nature of the self according to the design? Well, there's the sun, there's the earth, there's the four phases of the moon, and there's the universe. Well, it just so happens that the sun is the mind, is the heart, the earth is the moon, is the spirit as light, and the universe is the consciousness as a soul. The soul is to the universe what the body is to the planet. And one of the things that we could do is we can live our life within the context of our life as simply oneness that heals wholeness through ascension. One of the things that I have found is very, very useful is simply understanding that there is God, there is life, there is human beingness as the Christ, there is service. So if I simply take the idea of God, life, humanness, service, oneness, healing, wholeness, ascension, there's nothing else that I need to study. There's nothing else that I need to understand. There's only the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of humanness, and then there's the ascension of that which serves. So if I study on those things and I apply myself to those things, then eventually I can get to a point in my life to where my life becomes that. I had an experience in 2012 when I moved to Taos, New Mexico. And the interesting thing about the experience was, as I experienced stillness as my heart, peace as my body, harmony as my head. And that's what my life is right now. I'm simply stillness, peace, and harmony as a human being on this planet. There is no sense of chaos. There is no conflict. There is no drama. There is no stress. There is no anxiety. There is no uncertainty. There is no confusion. There's no doubt. There's none of that. There's only confidence. There's only commitment. There's only contribution. I am literally in a state of peacefulness all day, all night. And that's the advantage of doing personal work. I've been doing personal work for 50 years. I started when I was 9 years old. And the nice thing about doing personal work is everything works itself out. So there's only effective efficiency with the least amount of effort. Part of the work that an individual does is to manifest with a conscious mind instantly. I do a pretty good job of it, but there's still time and space involved in the process. Whenever something arises that I need, it's like I literally manifest what it is that I need in the moment. And it can be a job, it can be money, it can be a book, I remember I wanted to read a book, and in 3 hours I had the book in my hand, and somebody in the building that I was working in had the book, and literally it took 3 hours for me to manifest, and it was a book on the metaphysical, it was a book on the metaphysical interpretations of things pertaining to the Bible, and I think it was done by Charles Fillmore, but I'm not positive. I can't remember the name of the author. But I had the book and I read it for about a week, and then I decided that I didn't need to read it anymore. When we are looking at the process of who we are, one of the things that we get to do is sit below our skin. And it's interesting and fascinating to me that so many people on this planet are uncomfortable most of the time. There's a lady friend of mine who's in pain all of the time, and she takes Tylenol 5, which is one of the strongest pain medicines on the planet, almost as strong as morphine. And this lady's pain is so great that she needs Tylenol 5, and the only reason why she puts up with the pain is because she's absolutely terrified of death. She actually asked me a question once, that if she died, was she going to go to hell? And my response was, you can't go to some place that doesn't exist. Or let's put it in the context. Let's see, what burns eternal? It's the sun. So a person dies and goes to the sun? I don't think so. I said, I think that what happens is when a person's consciousness becomes unviable, he or she simply goes to that point of reference that corresponds to one's conscious awareness. Because when you really stop and think about it, there's only conscious awareness. There is only a state that exists as the consciousness of God, as the life form that exists as. It might be a sun, it might be a planet, it might be a moon, it might be a galaxy, it might be a galaxy, it might be a this, it might be a that, it might be a species. There's 10 million species on this planet, and consciousness exists as the state that it exists. And there are 7 levels to consciousness on this planet, not counting water, earth, heat, air, but there's mineral, according to God Speaks, there's mineral, vegetable, worm, reptile, fish, bird, mammal. Within the consciousness of what I understand, and within the context of different bodies of knowledge that I've read, the raw being one, Edgar Cayce being another, there are 7 densities that compose this universe. According to the raw material, there's 8 octaves in each density. Where we're at right now is the 3rd octave of, we are at the 8th octave of 3rd density, about to enter into the 1st octave of 4th density, and there's only one glitch. 4th density as a planetary state is positronic energy. The positron is active. The electron is latent. So people, if they want to be part of 4th density energetically, they have to be more positive than negative in order to survive. Dominant for the average atypical individual on this planet is much greater negativity, because pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide have not been resolved by the perspective of the individual. And yes, there was a time in my life in which I was suicidal. In my teens, in my late teens, I was going to kill myself, and I actually walked away from it. I walked 5 miles in one direction. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was, but anyway, I walked 5 miles in one direction, I walked 5 miles back home, and then it presents itself, but yeah, I'm not interested in ending my life because I like myself and I love myself too much to do that. I literally have resolved pain, fear, anger, self-hatred, and self-hatred acts in one of two ways: depression internally, violence externally. And then the culmination of the process is suicide, and every death experience is a form of self-inflicted suicide. And that's the bottom line. People don't realize that death can be overcome, if you will. It's almost like the process is birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, or oneness and heals, wholeness into ascension. The trick is the work that is required is simply is focusing on a given thing and understanding the role that it plays. How does a negative quality or negative thought work? How does a positive quality or thought work? And then how does a person embody one or the other? Everybody that comes into the human experience comes as an arbitrariness. An arbitrariness is love and light and fear and darkness, and they're equal measures, just like the quarter phases of the moon. If an individual polarizes in the negative, they become like the new moon. If it polarizes in the positive, they become the full moon. And it's interesting how the process works within the context of discipline and development. One of the things that we have the opportunity of doing is simply enjoying who we are as the humanity that we are. Simple enjoyment, simple pleasures, enjoying a glass of wine, enjoying a piece of bread, enjoying food, enjoying companionship. I play music in my spare time, and I absolutely love playing music. I move into joy and love. Joy fills my heart. Love fills my body. Light fills my head. And then consciousness surrounds all three when I'm playing music. And I'm fortunate that I'm halfway decent at playing. And it makes it really cool. Makes it fun. One of the most useful pieces of information that has ever been shared with me by a source is, it is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human, and I think about that every time that I do something. One of the things that is interesting about human being is that our life involves usually two things, being and doing, and people love to be busy. And what I do is I divide my time between being and busyness. Do things, and then I don't do anything at all. And I simply am a state of being in which I'm not doing anything other than being the realness of as a personal truth. One of the things that we don't understand is the truth defines the realness of God into a state of existence that gives God representation as its image and likeness, and everything is the image and likeness of God. Every plant is the image and likeness of God as a plant. Every animal is the image and likeness of God as the animal. Every fish, every bird, every reptile, every insect, every spider, you name it. Whatever it is as something, it is the image and likeness of God. If an individual wants to understand God as God, God in its original state is all-encompassingness. The inverse reversal of God's all-encompassingness is infinity. One of the more interesting things that was shared with me as an insight, clarity of insight to be specific, is that the will of God, God's will to be and know, extends and expands by inversely reversing into a focus, becoming conscious of that which gives rise to it. That's what everything is doing. Every conscious of that which gave rise to it. From that perspective of God consciousness, one then seeks to give a contribution or make a contribution to the health and welfare of others. It's our only responsibility is the contribution we make to others from the conscious awareness that we are. One of the meditations that I find very, very useful that I do all the time, in fact, I have a mirror, and the mirror is approximately 2.5 feet tall. It's approximately 20 inches wide. It has a nice oak wood frame, and it's got God is at the bottom with a picture of the sun, I am with a picture of me, and next to it is a book of mine that I've written, Love and Wisdom. And then at the top, I have a picture of the universe, all that is. So the mirror is God is, I am all that is. And I'm able to look at my reflection in the mirror when I say that. And it's a meditation that I do every day. God is, I am all that is. And it covers everything. One of the things that I find is useful is understanding the oneness of synchronicity of the right thing at the right time for the right reason involving and regarding the right person or people, because that is something that takes place. Another thing that I find useful is clarity of insight within the context of being, knowing, sharing, ascending, oneness that heals wholeness into ascension and so forth. In my book, Love and Wisdom, The Art of Appropriateness, which can be purchased through Barnes & Noble, it can be purchased on Amazon, it can be purchased in any bookstore, is the idea that there's bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, leadership, and self-mastery. And part of the work that we do is to understand how they work so that within the context of our life, we simply have our life together so that it can work within the composition or constitution of our life and the life of others. Because the ultimate experience that we are all going to have is, and the positive is, collective ascension. Everything that's taking place on this planet is evolving us or developing us into collective ascension. The reason why I know this is because the only thing that exists at the highest levels of creation are collectives that have ascended. The nice thing about the raw material is that if you explain this after I already understood it, because I had a vision, that at the highest levels of the creation there are only collectives. All of seventh density is only collectives that have ascended. Now, in the raw material it says that the last state that individuality is possible is the third octave of sixth density, because according to the raw, the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of a light love, love light. So that so as of the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth octaves of sixth densities, the only and all of seventh density are collectives that have ascended. Now the interesting thing to me is that when I was on my book study phase of my life, which was my mid to late teens through my 30s up until my about 40, until I was about 40 years old, which was 19 years ago, I got to a point to where when I started reading and studying book material by collectives, I was not interested in anything else, because the level of intelligence, the level of comprehensiveness is not nearly as great in an individual perspective as it is in the collective perspective. And one way of understanding this as an experience is to allow consciousness to become everything in the environment. The experience that I had way back when was my consciousness moved to the immediate environment and everything that composed it. And it was a small environment of about, let's say, 50 square feet. And then I had the experience of my consciousness being the entire planet. And then my consciousness was the entire solar system, the entire galaxy, and then it was the entire universe. And a real fascinating experience is to allow your attention to move from one state to another, to another, to another, and then let it do it fast. There was a point in the experience where I was literally going from one thing to another so quickly that it was like I was everything in the entire universe all at the same time, because I was moving so quickly from one thing to another. And it was a very fascinating experience to have. And then I came back to my specificness. One of the more useful experiences that I've had, which was really cool at the time, I was standing in Craig, Colorado at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for my ride to pick me up to take me from Craig, Colorado to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, which was 42 miles east. And I was looking at the stars because it was clear, bright, and there were all kinds of stars, and it was very cool. And then the little voice said, "You only recognize external to your life what is inherent within your life." And then all of a sudden I started thinking about God, universe, and all kinds of stuff. Part of the work that meditation facilitates is it allows an individual to become aware of a given state of existence within itself rather than something that's external. And then what happens is the person has a simple choice. Does an observation move me into pain and fear, or does it move me into joy and love? More comprehensively, does a perception move me into pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, or suicide, or does it move me into the opposite of those? Rather than pain, it's joy. Rather than fear, it is love. Rather than anger, it is patience or compassion. Rather than hatred, it's self-acceptance. Rather than violence, it's harmony. Rather than depression, it's happiness. Rather than suicide, it's ascension. So the question that comes up is that, am I moving into what is real and true, conducive and ongoing, or am I moving into the idea of sin, sickness, disease, death? I'm of the opinion that if negative energy that's absorbed and grounded in the body every 24 hours by the environment, people, places, and things, if it's not released, it builds into sickness, and if it's there long enough, it builds into disease. And one of the things that people don't pay attention to, is they can go to doctors and say, okay, well, I'm in pain. What can you do to eliminate or remove the pain? And so they either operate on something to remove it, or they give Tylenol 5 or morphine or codeine. Doesn't work with the pain to understand why is it a catalyst, because pain is followed by fear, which is followed by anger, which is followed by hatred, which is followed by depression inwardly, violence outwardly, that ultimately kills the life experience from not understanding it and resolving it. And this is something that people don't realize, is that everything has the ability to teach one about what is going on within one's life. I'm always fascinated when somebody brings up the term boredom, because I have not felt bored in over 30 years. I can literally sit for hours doing nothing, just being me, and I am absolutely content and complete. One way of understanding the nature of the self is joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony. Another is presence, isness, realness, I amness, allness, godhood. Another is oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected, integration, reintegration. These are ways of understanding the nature of the self. One of the things that I have found is that if a catalyst is not understood, it will reappear. The only reason why something exists as it does in a human context is so an individual will understand it and either let it go or enhance it and build it. When we are looking at love and light, the only thing that happens within the context of love and light is love increases its mass, light increases its magnitude, and it does this by doubling itself through each individual. And it's pretty interesting, because think about what happens when you have one joined by two. It doubles the one, three doubles the two, four doubles the three, five doubles the four. Think of how profound the experience is when you have millions of people that are involved in the mass and magnitude of love and light. And individuality does not exist. We do not lose our sense of self-awareness. The only thing that happens is self-awareness is enhanced. Cool, when you think about it, it's enhanced. And so part of the work that we do within the composition or constitution of our life is we simply work with who we are, where we are, as we are. And meditation is useful because that's how one becomes conscious. One literally lets go of to become the conscious awareness of as it pertains to God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id. Yahweh is the name of the creator. It is the name of that which brought us to life. And then there's mom and dad. And these contribute or give us specific states of being. Because ultimately, there's only knowing the nature of the self according to its design, serving others as the positive path, and then aspiring to collectively ascend. And the hope is that everybody will, at some point, get it. You know, I'm fortunate that I understand what I do, and my life works very, very well because of what I understand. And the hope is that other people come to a point in which they are the representation of within the context of their life, so that their life can work and work with others as well. One of the things that is nice is that part of the work that we do is we work at resolving lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, intolerance. The other big three, I call them, is addiction, dysfunction, and distraction. Addiction, distraction, and dysfunction. And everything can be an addiction. Everything can be a distraction. Everything can be a form of dysfunction. The idea is that we come from a sense of empowerment that assists others in their empowerment. For the most part, what happens is we simply don't pay attention to the details so that we simply don't get it. Because one of the things that I have understood is that in order for one to overcome the death experience, one has to end the disparity between what's real and true and what the ego as a form of fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial dies for. Another thing that I have learned within the context of the death experience is death simply shows everyone, including the individual who has died, that they didn't have a viable spirituality that could allow the individual to be self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating, because that's what spirituality is and does. The body in and of itself doesn't exist. It's the spirit that is the life of that brings the body to life, which is a projected objectification of the mind, and there's only the mind of God. Our mind works on a personal level with the mind of God does within the context of the universe as a whole. So what happens is within the life that we are living, we simply come face to face with who we are every moment of the day. And one of the things that's useful is that when we are faced with something that's a challenge, understand what is it about the nature of the self that is challenging to me as the observation or as the involvement. And everything that comes to us simply comes to us to present to us an aspect of the self so that we can work with it and either develop it or let it go. And it's that straightforward. We either develop it or we let it go. We develop it or we let it go. We develop it or we let it go. And it's a continual process. I've been doing personal work for 50 years. I started when I was 9, you know, or 10, you know, so it's 49 years or 50 years. And the thing is I still have what I consider to be a ways to go because I'm still not as conscious. It's like the interesting thing is I'm consciously aware of the things that I want to be, and I am not there yet, which is very, very fascinating. And what I mean by that is I want to be able to heal people in the same way that Jesus did. I want to be able to manifest in the same way that Saint Germain was able to manifest. I want to be able to do manifesting instantly. I want to be enlightened like Buddha, miracle-minded like Jesus, and so on. And I am there to a degree, but I'm not there as clearly and concisely and as profoundly as they were. And so part of the work that I do is God consciousness, enlightenment, miracle-mindedness, and universal conscious awareness as my life, and this is what I contribute to others, those that are interested in the sound of my voice. And right now, on the surface of this planet, it's not very many people, and as long as there's one, which I have, I don't need other voices to listen to the sound of my voice. And the other thing is that people have to be interested in this material that I share, and my stuff that I share differs from anyone else. Because I don't come from the guru tradition. I don't come from the monk or master tradition. I simply come from an individual that was born and has been spiritually aware ever since I was about 2 or 3 years old, and so on. And I simply work within the context of answering what makes me the image and likeness of God and how does one become the image and likeness of God as a human being on this planet. I'm just interested in knowing what it is to be a human being within the context of mind, body, spirit, and soul. God, planet, moon, and universe, if you will, and that kind of stuff. And I have a great sense of humor, and I love to make Ants laugh, even though a lot of times I take her to task, and she's listening to the show, and she's probably laughing right now, jumping up and down on her new knee. She just had a knee operated on, and it was a success and all that kind of good stuff, and now she's going to have to do the two-step with somebody who knows how to dance that doesn't want to step on her toes. I do have a really good sense of humor, and so I like to make people laugh and all that kind of good stuff. I like to write. I like to play music. I like to drink wine and all that kind of good stuff. And there's other things, you know. I like to go out in nature. I like to hang out with the birds, the bees, and all that kind of good stuff. And I like to have an all-around good time. Part of the work that a person does because I'm convinced that will of light and consciousness have veils between them. So between will and love is the veil of access to God. Between love and light is the veil of confusion of life. Between light and consciousness, there is the veil of forgetfulness of one's own soul. So part of the work is having the veil of access to God, confusion of life, and forgetfulness of soul removed. And it is not done by the individual. Another aspect, I think it's the higher self, removes the veil of access, confusion, and forgetfulness. Part of the work that we do is to remember our own soul. Part of the work that we do is to remember God. Part of the work that we do is to be love and know light that can be shared in a kind, humble, authentic, and transparent manner. One of my favorite words in the English language is comprehensiveness. Comprehensiveness. It's five syllables, so it's a big word. It's got lots of letters. I like comprehensiveness because it's comprehensiveness of understanding, it's comprehensiveness of winning, it's comprehensiveness of wisdom, comprehensiveness of understanding, because we have to remember within the context of love and light, love is to acceptance and understanding what light is to even-mindedness and wisdom. And when one is truly accepting and even-minded, it's time to move on. And people don't realize that. If the body dies, the soul will have to reincarnate because they're the same experience. Death of the body is reincarnation of the soul. And the soul will reincarnate as long as the body dies. And what that lets us know is that every single individual that has died, leaving the body behind, has to reincarnate again. It's only when an individual ascends the body that an individual truly transitions from a planetary state into a universal state of awareness. And it's possible to do that. It takes a lot of work, and everybody has to do it in their own way. And everybody does it in their own way by the work that they're doing. Within the context of my life, there's meditation, there's written and read material, there's vision boards, there's other things that I have. That I'm involved with. Besides writing, I also play music. I design T-shirts and that kind of stuff. And then I just go about my business. I do have a job. I work 32 hours a week as a driver for a parts business, and I absolutely love my job. I love getting in the truck and going from point A to point B and then getting back to my work environment and putzing around in the work environment, interacting with customers. And the nice thing about my life right now is there is no stress. I read Alan Watts, The Wisdom of Insecurity, and I stopped worry, doubt, confusion, concern, anxiety, stress. That no longer exists. What exists is my life is stillness within my heart, rather than chaos or heart disease. Peace as my body rather than conflict. Harmony in my head rather than violence. And so the nice thing is I'm cool, calm, collected, with a sense of humor. And it's like a funny and curious thing all at the same time. One of the nice things is that everybody on the planet is the same potential, is the same matrix, potential, catalyst, experience, transformation, if you will. Everybody, we're all in this together. And the hope is that everybody on the planet become conscious, that hopefully all 7 billion people collectively ascend, because it would be a level of collective ascension that is grander than most collectives. Most collectives that have ascended have usually been less than 10,000 souls. And so one of the nice things is that, well, stop and think about it. Positive sources that interact with this planet do two things. They share love and light as wisdom and understanding with the planet. That's what they do. Every conscious individual on the planet does exactly the same thing, unless they are more interested in serving themselves than others. So when we're looking at love that never dies and light that never ceases to exist, that can be a person's state of consciousness. An exercise that I like to do is I like to feel joy fill my heart, love fill my body, light fill my head, and then consciousness surround all three. That's an exercise that an individual can do through meditation. You simply sit and you allow joy to fill the heart, love fill the body, light fill the head, and then visualize consciousness surrounding all three. And so the question one can say, well, what does consciousness look like? Well, it looks like Bugs Bunny on a bad day or a good day. You could say it looks like Jumbo or Dumbo the clown or the elephant. Or it looks like Bozo the clown. What does consciousness look like? It looks like Tammy Faye Baker when her eyeliner is running. Could be all kinds of weirdness. Seriously, though, consciousness basically is something that is what it is, and it has to have vision in order for there to be representation. So one of the visions that I like of consciousness is infinity or universality. That's the vision that I have within the context of what I think consciousness is, because I think of consciousness as infinite, consciousness as universal. So one of the interesting things that we get to do within the context of our life is we get to move into a state of awareness that allows us to be the representation of, that we contribute to others. In the raw material, there's a suggestion that's made, which is breathe in a positive quality and exhale its opposite. In volume one, on page 87, it says, in the raw material, every thought has an antithesis, composition of energy. Every positive has a negative. Every negative has a positive alternative to it. The good news is that when we're feeling something negative, we can move from fear into love. We can move from pain into joy. We can move from anger into comfort. We can move from hatred into self-acceptance. We can move from violence into harmony. We can move from depression into happiness. There's also feeling wonderful. And these are things that we can choose to feel in the moment, because ultimately all we do is we feel according to the mind, sense according to the body, think within the context of spirit, and then we envision within the context of consciousness for the soul. Because the soul is so vast, consciousness is so vast, that the only way that it can communicate is through visions, which is why we dream. The interesting thing about dreaming is that when an individual knows the nature of the soul as it is, dreams stop, because the soul communicates to the ego as a sleeping body through dreams, to let the ego as a sleeping body know that there is such a thing as the soul. And that's why we have the dream state. When an individual understands the nature of the soul for what it is, the soul no longer needs to communicate to the ego's body, because the ego's body already knows what the soul is as an alternate time-space, if you will. There's space-time and time-space. The soul is to time-space what the body is to space-time, so to speak. And as we go through our process, we come to an understanding of who we are, what we are, why we are, and so on. Because one of the things to remember is everything is an extension and expansion of everything else. Everything is ultimately everything else. And one of the things that people don't realize is that in order for consciousness to be a human being, it had to go through, it had to be mineral, vegetable, worm, reptile, fish, bird, mammal before it could be human. And that's the reason why those seven states, and this comes from Meher Baba's book, God Speaks, those states preceded, because you can't be a human being until you have traversed all seven levels of mineral, all seven levels of vegetable, all seven levels of worm, and so on and so forth. And then you get to the level of the human, and the human simply looks back at these lower levels of consciousness, knowing where it has come from and where it is now going, which is to the universe. However, the individual as self-awareness has to make a contribution to the lower seven levels in order for an individual, and it's all seven levels that are involved, which we either love or fear. Anyway, I am the host of this show, Douglas H. Malloy. I go by the name W. Slap to my percussion friends and all that kind of good stuff. This show is Welcome to My Point of View, and just remember to feel something real, think something true, share them in ways that are kind and conducive. The measure of a person is that contribution he or she makes to his or her fellow man without expectation, one for self-interested gain. I will do this show next week, and the fact that two people listen, perfect. I absolutely have no qualms with few people listening to this show, because it's not for everybody. It's only people that are truly interested in conscious awareness and evolving who they are beyond limitation. Thanks.